Thank you for that, Mark. That was beautiful. Really enjoyed that. Wow, 50 years, half a century. Can you believe it? That's what I said at my 50th birthday, too. I can't believe 50 years. Well, you know, 50 is a special time. It definitely is a special time. It's the gold standard. It's the Jubilee. So I want to talk a little bit about the number 50, anniversaries, jubilees, and some of the related items that kind of come along with that. I'm going to dovetail a lot with what Mark spoke about, too. So ours, definitely, we've been on the same mindset for some reason the last few Sabbaths. I'm sure the 50th anniversary had a lot to do with it for this Sabbath. But let's talk a little bit about the number 50 first. After turning 50, you know, you realize that your parents were right about almost everything they said, right? Looking 50 is great when you're 60. After 50, your wild oats turn to mush. But in reality, as Christians, we know they were mush anyways, right? After 50, all those old people, it suddenly dawns on you are your age. After 50, you realize that it's hard to make a comeback if you haven't gone anywhere. There are numerous advantages at being 50. Just ask anybody who's 80. But again, like I said, 50 was a milestone in my life. And you know, these anniversaries or birthdays, however you want to look at them, I mean, they're kind of are interrelated, but they help us to think about and reflect on where we were, where we are at that time, and where we're going. And that's the great thing about anniversaries, isn't it? They're a time to remember, reflect, and to rehearse. And God had that same plan with his holy days as well for us. He has that for his weekly Sabbath. We're to remember, we're to reflect, and we're to rehearse. You know, if I forget our anniversary, I'm in the doghouse with Lisa. So fortunately, I haven't forgot our anniversary. But you know, really think about it. You'd be in the doghouse with God if you forgot his anniversaries, wouldn't we? I mean, God really wants us to remember and plan and prepare for those anniversaries, for those holy days and the Sabbath days. There's special appointments that he's made for each and every one of us, and there are time for us to do that remembering, reflecting, and to rehearse. I'm going to give some non-biblical facts about the number 50. Some of these I'm sure everybody knows, but you know, there's 50 states in the United States. We may be going to 51 real soon, so who knows, that might be in the cards someday. Puerto Rico did vote to become a state. It has to go through some other processes, though, as well. 50 is the smallest number that can be written in the sum of two squares in two ways, and don't ask me how to do that. I have no clue. So 50 is a rational number, but it's not a prime number. This is one that's near and dear to Lisa's heart. Sunblock with SPF 50 allows only 1.67% of UV light to get through. So it gives her a little more time in the sun, so at least she can get out and do some gardening and things. Scientific studies have shown that there's little productivity after a person works 50 hours a week. We max out at 50 hours a week. The atomic number for the element of tin is 50. The Earth has roughly 50 times the volume of the moon. I have some biblical references for you, too, as well, for those who would like the biblical references. 50 can be found 154 times in the Bible. The number 50 is related to God's Holy Spirit in the Bible. Count 50 from the Sabbath after the last day of unleavened bread until Pentecost. Moses received the commandments 50 days after the Exodus from Egypt. After the age of 50, did you know the Levites were allowed to retire? Numbers 8:25. Actually, I'm gonna read that real quick. You don't have to turn there. I just thought it was kind of interesting, something I didn't really think about before, not thinking of the number 50. But at the age of 50, again, Numbers 8:25, at the age of 50 years, they must cease performing this work and shall work no more. They may minister with their brethren in the tabernacle of meeting to attend the need to needs, but they themselves shall do no work. Thus you shall do to the Levites regarding these duties. So basically, they were relieved of doing the hard tasks of things like carrying parts of the tabernacle and the vessels and things like that. However, they took on more of an advisory role and a counselor role. God knew in his mercy after age 50 that the body starts to decline. So he showed them a little mercy. They didn't have to go lugging around those big poles and things. So he had a lot of mercy on them, and he thought ahead. He has our best interest at heart at all times. King David paid 50 shekels of silver to purchase the threshing floor where the death angel brought by David's sins was told to stop and not to destroy Jerusalem. The width of Noah's Ark was 50 cubits, and the book of Genesis contains 50 chapters. So that's enough of the fun facts here for today. But the number 50 and the Jubilee, let's take a look at that in a little more detail. In ancient Israel, the Jubilee year was to be a time of joy. It was a time of remission of sins and a time to pardon and forgive debt and to free those who were indebted to slavery. Let's turn to Leviticus 25, starting at verse 10, and we'll read through verse 19. Leviticus 25, verse 10. Consecrate, which means to set apart or to devote or dedicate to a special purpose, the 50th year, and proclaim liberty or freedom throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. Each of you is to return to your family property and to your own clan. Verse 11, the 50th year shall be a jubilee for you. Do not sow, do not reap what grows of itself or harvest the untended vines. For it's a jubilee and is to be holy to you. Eat only what is taken directly from the fields. In this year of jubilee, everyone's to return to their own property. If you sell land to any of your own people or buy land from them, do not take advantage of each other. You're to buy from your own people on the basis of the number of years since the jubilee. And they're to sell to you on the basis of the number of the years left for harvesting crops. When the years are many, you're to increase the price. When the years are few, you're to decrease the price. Because what is really being sold to you is the number of crops. Do not take advantage of each other, but fear your God. I am the Lord your God. Follow my decrees and be careful to obey my laws, and you will live safely in the land. Then the land will yield its fruit, and you will eat your fill and live there in safety. You know, this was about a transaction of equity. It wasn't just about complete forgiving and everything. Everyone, on both parties, it was a win-win situation. It was a blessing to everybody involved in the transaction. That's God's way. The family property was returned as an inheritance to that family. And the next generation didn't have to pay the penalty of that. And it may have been because someone didn't handle finances wisely. It may have been because of bad crops that year. It may have been time and chance. But that did not have to be passed down to the next generations. God made a way for all the generations to prosper. He wouldn't allow that to go down to the next generation. You know, we can also take a look at that with sin. You know, we have redemption from sin upon repentance. After baptism, God has given us that ability. We don't have to have the sins of our fathers and our grandfathers or our grandparents. We are released from that at this time, and we can use this as an example of that. We don't have to make those mistakes. We can move on. We can return to a good land. Jesus Christ became our Jubilee, and he's our Redeemer. You know, Jesus Christ talked about the Jubilee when he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood and he read from the book of Isaiah. Let's turn to Luke 4, starting in verse number 17. Luke 4, chapter 4, verse 17. And there was given him the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For this reason, he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has set me to heal those who are brokenhearted, to proclaim pardon to the captives and recover the sight to the blind, to send forth in deliverance those who have been crushed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Acceptable year of the Lord being the Jubilee. You know, sometimes people think they're free, and in reality, they're loaded down with unnecessary burdens. They're held captive in this world by an evil taskmaster known as Satan the devil. In John chapter 8, verse 31 through 44, John 8, 31 through 44, Jesus is discussing about truth and freedom to a group of Jews. Starting in verse 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free." "We're the descendants of Abraham," they answered him. "We've never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say that we will become free?" Jesus responded, "I assure you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. A slave does not remain in the household forever, but a son does remain forever. Therefore, if the son sets you free, you really will be free. I know you're the descendants of Abraham, but you're trying to kill me because my word is not welcome among you. I speak what I have seen in the presence of the Father. Therefore, you do what you have heard from your father." Christ tells them, "You don't listen to him or believe him," and proceeds to tell them why. In verse 44, let's go down to verse 44. "You're of your father, the devil, and you want to carry your father's desires. You're a murderer from the beginning and has stood not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he speaks from his own nature, because he's a liar and the father of lies." These people were never free. They thought they were free, but they weren't. And in reality, they were enslaved to Satan the devil. You know, we must be of our Father in heaven. And that Jubilee sets us free. That 50th year, it represents that freedom, the unshackling of the chains of sin. And it's about returning home for those who lost their home, who lost their land. It's a rest from our labor. And the Jubilee for Israel required that the land rest and all slaves be made free and that the land return to its original owners. God made those provisions. He never intended mankind to be enslaved, and he never intended us to be in debt to other people. That's a form of slavery in itself. But the spiritual significance here, the Jubilee, is the most important, and that's the redemption that Jesus Christ gives us. That's the redemption and the freedom that he's given us. If the Jubilee was kept properly, there wouldn't have been poverty in Israel. And there also wouldn't have been people who amassed such wealth like the Sanhedrin. They had an extremely enormous amount of wealth. God allowed for the ability for everyone in Israel to have an abundance, to have an abundant life. And that was his intent with the Jubilee. That's what he wanted. But it also had its spiritual intention as well. It wasn't just the physical. What a blessing it is to have God's truth preached to us for 50 years in the Cleveland area. That is an awesome blessing that we can have. We've had the privilege to be able to separate ourselves from the father of lies for 50 years in this area and to come here and to hear the truth in peace and in safety every week. Mr. Thomas talked about being thankful. We need to be very thankful for that. It truly is a blessing to have that. There's some people in parts of the world who don't have that blessing. They live in isolated areas, and they can't get together with God's people every week like we have. We owe not only God, but we owe those veterans that went before us. Be thankful for those veterans who've gone before us to do these things. You know, some are sitting in the room right now, and maybe they haven't been here for all 50 years, but I could tell there's a lot of chrome and shiny heads out there, so I know that. I've been told by my mother, we're kind of uncertain of the dates and everything, but I do remember the minister who was here, David Antion, and I remember him as a child. He just seemed like a kind and warm man to me as a young man, and I know we had attended back in the 60s in the Cleveland church. We had started out in the Dayton area. But I never thought in all the years I had been in God's church, I'd been dragged around. I felt like a Christian caravan going from school auditorium to different cafeterias and things, but I never thought we'd have a presence in a community, you know? And I just think it's one of the most awesome experiences in God's church that I've had over 50 years. I want to thank all those who make it possible. There are a lot of hard workers in this congregation. There are people who are doers here that clean up things, that make this auditorium nice for us, and they maintain things for us on a regular basis. And they give so much of themselves, and what a blessing they are. Our anniversary with God's church can especially be likened to the commitment of marriage. And God links that. He made it so. He made it that way. Our commitment at baptism and the marriage commitment go hand in hand. They're both lessons that parallel with each other. We're the bride of Christ, and Christ is the groom. Stay married. Don't get a divorce. You know, anniversaries are to be a happy time. They're about commitment and commitment to stay this course in life. Anniversaries are a statement of your love and your commitment, and they show that we weather storms together. We strengthen one another through those storms, and hopefully we grow stronger after each storm. That's one of the reasons why God created this church community for us. And good and healthy relationships are based on spending time together, that quality time that we have each week. And we shouldn't take that advantage, that opportunity, for granted. We have an opportunity today, and I hope everyone takes that opportunity to be here and to spend that time together and to build those relationships. Some of the best memories that I have in my lifetime has been after the Sabbath and being with God's people in their homes. And some ways we've kind of gotten away from that. I know we meet here after church. It's nice to have our own hall and do that. But there's something about that one-on-one bond with each other that's very special to do that. I hope we get back to that more and more as time goes on. There's some dynamics that keep people together, and we can learn from the dynamics of marriage and the wedding anniversary and apply some of those principles to that staying power and being committed to God and to his way of life, and to serving his church and his people. Commitment and longevity go together. So let's talk a little bit about longevity. Some people walk away from marriages. Some people walk away from God. You know, both are actually a marriage, or a type of marriage. In both situations, my hope would be that the person eventually does heal that relationship. God hates divorce. He doesn't like it, and it's an ugly thing. He hates when a physical marriage breaks up, and he hates when people walk away from him. He doesn't like it when people call it quits. Let's see some reasons why staying the course is better than divorce. This 58th anniversary didn't happen from people who walked away, did it? It happened by people who were committed and people who believed in a cause. There was a study that reports many married couples that had patience and remained together agreed that it was the best thing they ever did by staying in the marriage, even though the marriage had a lot of difficulties and sometimes severe difficulties. The married couples in this study reported that things got better, and some said that they even got better than ever by staying the course. Got better beyond their expectations. 68% of those that considered divorce stayed married were happy that they stayed together. But I'll bet you 100% of the people here who decide to stay the course, once they get their reward, will be glad they did. I have a short list of some personal observations from being in God's church for approximately the past 50 years myself. And I think these things can create longevity in a person. And I'd like to share a few of these things with you. They're personal observations, some are questions, and I have a couple comments as well. Number one, longevity starts here. Those who keep up with Bible study, prayer, and fasting. But the Pharisees did this. And those with longevity realize that. So something must go beyond that. It goes beyond having head knowledge, pointing out where you're better than the publican in your prayers. It goes beyond skinnying down once a week, right? So how do you feel about, number two, how do you feel about coming to God's church each week? Do you want to be here? Are you joyous to be with God's people? I really like the comment that Alan made today about being happy to be here. That is exactly how we should be feeling. Do we look forward to the Sabbath each week, or is it a burden and an effort to get here? Do we want to be with God's people? If we're not with God's people, who are we with? We're, what, home by ourselves, talking to ourselves? We're with people in the world? This is the best place to be on the Sabbath. Being with God's people, that's where we want to be. Number three, an observation. Is God's law a burden? Those who stayed the course never felt burdened by keeping God's law. That's one of the biggest observations I've made over the years. They're the ones that embraced the law. They're the ones that valued what God's law and its benefits for keeping them in their lives. They saw that the law served them well. Just look back at the people around you that don't keep God's law. Their lives are a mess. This world is a mess. We don't need to be a part of that mess. There's so many benefits to keeping God's law now, not just in the future. The payoffs are today. They're not just in the future. There's peace of mind. There's refreshing of the body and the mind and the spirit. Very little turmoil and drama in our lives. Not saying that we're going to be perfect in that area. No unwanted pregnancies or sexually transmitted diseases. Not getting our head blown off by our neighbor from a jealous spouse. That's kind of a nice thing, nice benefit. You can have good and healthy relationships and live. That's the good thing. So God promises protection as well with his obedience. That comes with his obedience. Number four, those with longevity place a high value on this pearl of great price. They place a high value on the knowledge of knowing God and his ways. It outweighs any personal stuff or things. Whatever worldly possessions that they might acquire, this is what they value the most. They put their money where their mouth is. Many loving and dedicated loyal brothers and sisters in Christ have sacrificed dearly throughout the years, and I can testify to that. I've seen people driving around, and this is not an exaggeration, in cars that had coat hangers, duct tape, spray painted, and they tithe faithfully. They gave to God, and they were generous to other people. It wasn't just that. I mean, they gave what they had, and they shared with other people as well. They had little or no savings accounts, smaller homes, or even forwent purchasing their own home. So they would be faithful. They couldn't save, but they tithed. They gave offerings. They helped others. Their treasures are in heaven. Matthew 6:19. Their treasures are in heaven. Those with longevity, number five, learn to serve others and look outside themselves. They find a way to serve with the talents that God gave them. Everyone serves in different ways. God gave each of us different talents. We all are a different part of the body of Christ. Not one person here has the same talents that the other person has. They're all different. And God has called us to use those talents and to help each other. We all have different functions to perform while we're here. Those with longevity were unselfish, and they look out for the needs of others rather than for themselves, and they love the brethren, and it shows. Number six. Those with staying power care for the next generation and the things that they do. You can see it by the things that they do. They care for that next generation coming up. The next generation is counting on us. We need to be better, and we need to hand off a better church to those in the next generation. I'm not just talking about the children. I'm talking about the people that come after us. You know, we have babes in Christ that'll be coming after us, and they could be 80 years old. They don't have to be youth in age. It could be youth in how long they've been exposed to God and his ways. Those are just a few of the observations that I've made through the years, and I know there's a lot more, but we don't have time to go through them anymore. But the bottom line is that divorce comes at a cost, and the average divorce in the U.S. can cost between $20,000 and $30,000. And that last statistic, I believe, was from 2013, so it's probably even more now. And that doesn't consider the cost after the divorce, like alimony and child support and other expenses of time and so forth that you might run into in an ugly divorce. Divorce in the United States is a $28 billion a year industry. Christians, to leave God's way is an industry to Satan as well. It's a major industry to him, and he wants to profit by it. And there is a cost. There's a cost for those who leave the way. And our hope is always that anybody who has left the way, and I've been here 50 years, and I've seen people leave. I've seen people come back, fortunately. But there's a cost to walking away from our commitment with God. Some could be at the expense of someone's life. But there's also immediate expenses that aren't terminal. But we lose the loving support of the caring family that we have here each week. We get weekly instruction, and we come to worship God as he commanded. God commands us to assemble on his Sabbath day, and he blesses you for being here. That's obedience. We're obeying. God will bless you for that. It gives you the opportunity to be something that's bigger than self by coming here, something that's greater than us. And we'd be giving that up. And this is an investment. This is an investment. I mean, I know people make investments, but this will have the biggest return that we would ever even be able to imagine. I mean, eternal life, no pain, no sorrow, no hunger, no war, no disease anymore. God gives us joy when we walk this way. You know, and people are attracted to us, at least they should be, because they see that joy in us. Are people attracted to you because you have the joy of Jesus Christ in you, living in you? I know I've said this many times, but I'm going to say it again. You know, we can walk this walk either with God or without him, but either way, life is going to happen. We have that choice. In closing, let's turn to Philippians 1, 3 through 6. Philippians 1, 3 through 6. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Little did I know as a young boy that these last 50 years would be. I'm so very, very grateful that God has brought me into this way of life and my wife. He's given me truth and understanding. And let's be determined to follow this through, every one of us. Let's turn to Corinthians 2, 9. This is the vision that God wants us to have. God wants us to have this so we do make it. 1 Corinthians 2, 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them who love him. You know, I think it gives God a lot of joy to see us ponder on this, because he knows we can't even grasp it. He probably even laughs sometimes. But it's going to be so wonderful, we can't even grasp it. So let's celebrate this 50th anniversary. 50 is a most exciting number.